The Second Continental Congress ratified Vergennes' Treaty of Alliance on 4 May 1778, bringing an end to one of the easiest missions in the annals of espionage and diplomatic history. Dean was recalled shortly thereafter, ostensibly to be debriefed, but actually to be interrogated. Arthur Lee, whom he had arrogantly dismissed at the outset, but who had later joined the mission along with Ben Franklin in September 1776, had been sending reports of Silas Deane's nefarious dealings all along. The ensuing debates left the merchant from Connecticut publicly disgraced, and he returned to Europe in 1780 to continue his intrigues with Bancroft. This had disastrous consequences. Bancroft encouraged him to rekindle Ben Franklin's failed venture along the Ohio, and Dean responded by advocating for reconciliation with England so that the king might grant a charter for Vandalia. Dean wrote to his few remaining friends about his disillusionment with the patriotic cause and urged them to seek peace with England. He sent these letters through Bancroft, who naturally passed copies on to Wentworth. Hoping to lend these documents more credence and give them wider publicity, George III had none other than his printer in New York, James Rivington, publish them in his newspaper under the pretense they had been intercepted. They appeared in print just as Cornwallis was surrendering at Yorktown. Consequently, Dean was branded a traitor and forced into exile. After a brief period in Ghent, Dean spent the remainder of his life in England. Illness and depression haunted him throughout his final years. He died aboard the ship Boston Packet on 23 September 1789 at a time when it appeared that his reputation in the newly independent United States might in fact be restored. George Washington, whom he had earlier impressed in his youth, was president. Old friends, having taken pity on him, were writing to Dean once again. Better yet, his health was improving remarkably. Furthermore, it appeared that he would be able to rebuild his shattered fortune while living among friends and family. Models of steam engines he had collected, along with details of the processes of iron manufacture he had acquired, were to provide the foundation of new business ventures in the United States. There was also a great deal of land yet to be settled. But it was during this time that Dean, with redemption at his fingertips, decided to end his own life by taking a lethal dose of laudanum. Or so wrote Edward Bancroft shortly after his former schoolmaster's mysterious death. In hindsight, it seems that Bancroft was the man responsible for the poisoning. A skilled chemist who believed that passion controlled all people, and as we have seen, an accomplished scientist who possessed an intimate knowledge of poisons and their uses, Edward Bancroft was likely overcome by a fear that Silas Deane might unknowingly betray him. Ever the pragmatist, Bancroft therefore took the necessary measures to protect himself. Like Nathan Hale before him, America's first foreign spy, Silas Deane, died a victim of those better skilled at espionage than he. As an epitaph for Silas Deane, America's first foreign spy, perhaps Thomas Paine put it best. His life has been fraud, and his character that of a plotting, cringing mercenary, capable of any disguise that suited his purpose. And yet, as we have seen in this case, even a greedy man guided solely by self-interest can still serve the vital national interests of his country.